the bubble.
Hello and welcome to Burst the Bubble live on CamFM. I'm Michael Contario.
And I'm Andrew Holding.
And we're going to be looking at the weird news from the past week and chatting about it, and we hope you enjoy it. We've got some interesting stories to look at, including an unfortunate, not typo, what's the word I'm looking for? An unfortunate mistake in a prison. And also, we are going to mention the royal engagement. However, we're not going to be dedicating as much time to it as some of the press seems to have.
We're not going to live blog it either, as The Guardian did.
No, we're not going to live blog an engagement.
I don't quite know how they live blogged an engagement.
But let's get started straight away with a story reminiscent of a TV programme, I think. A three-year-old girl in Argentina was rescued safely after falling down a well.
That's just such a sweet story.
It's got all of the drama. The great thing about this story is it's got all the drama and excitement of the Chilean miners story, but condensed in a much smaller space in space and space in time as well.
Yeah, instead of being several miles on the ground, she was 30 metres, 100 foot.
And but they did actually have live on Argentinian TV her rescue, so fiber optic cameras were sent down showing a small girl trapped in a narrow space at the bottom of the well. So
that's reality TV.
Obviously, trying to do for Argentina and possibly the president of Argentina what the Chilean mine rescue did for the Chilean mine workers the president there.
I have to say, once again, I feel a bit disappointed that they call the rescue a miracle. I felt this was very true of the Chilean miners when they said it's a miracle they saved them, when you felt it was the hard work of lots and lots of people getting them out of the mine, and that God didn't seem to be willing to take responsibility for the original cave-in in the mine. I don't know. He takes
God
all the good stuff.
God didn't seem willing to take responsibility.
He just came
down away. Sorry, not my fault.
Okay, I admit burning bushes down mines are hard to find, but, you know, it's this idea that all the bad things that happen... No, that wasn't God. But the rescue done with science and technology... No, that was God.
I like the fact that, just moving back to the more recent news story, I like the fact that it sounds like the plot of an episode of Lassie.
Yeah, I mean, if only they'd got a dog to climb down the well and rescue her, that would have been the most brilliant news story of the year.
The dog would have been famous as well.
But she is famous because apparently it was so tight at the bottom of the well, she had to put the harness on herself.
So she, in fact, in some senses, rescued herself.
Exactly. A miracle.
Three-year-old girl rescues self from well. I think that's lovely. If you've got any other good news stories, you can email those to us at studio@camfm.co.uk, or if you've got any other suggestions for news stories, which I think would be made better if with just a slight twist, like a dog being involved in this rescue would have made it better, so that it seemed more like an episode of Lassie. If you've got anything like that, you can email us as well. Remember, studio@camfm.co.uk is our email address, or if you're on a website, you can use the form there, the website www.camfm.co.uk.
And it doesn't have to just be dogs. We're quite happy to have Skippy the kangaroo rescuing people as well.
Well, just anything that could be improved like that. Anything that lots of things are better with animals. People love animals.
Clyde the pterodon. That TV series never really took off. He was extinct before he could rescue anyone.
What is it about animals in news stories? I mean, Phil the octopus was
Phil?
Right up there. Pardon?
Paul the octopus.
Oh, well, obviously I'm not that into the animals, and I can't even get the name right. Paul the Octopus. I knew it started with a P.
Yeah, it's a good start, but you know, Phil the Octopus is still alive and good.
Phil, Paul's lesser well-known brother.
Yeah, he's got a good music career.
Drummer.
Yeah.
It had to be, didn't it, there, really. So, moving on to another news story. This one a lot creepier. The Danish astronomer Tycho Brahe has been exhumed to solve the mystery of his death.
So who is Tycho Brahe? Presumably he's dead.
He's a 16th century Danish astronomer, so it's not like they're going to actually manage to arrest whoever did it. But, so I'm not quite sure why they're doing this, but he served as royal mathematician to the Bohemian Emperor Rudolf II.
So does Bohemian mean that they wore a funky hat and smoked a lot?
I don't know. I think it was just that they had a song made about them by Queen, and another by... who is it? Bohemian Like You.
I have no idea. I'm still thinking of Bohemian Rhapsody.
But a team of Danish and Czech scientists hope to solve the mystery of how he died by analysing bone, hair and clothing samples. And they want to see whether or not... There's one suggestion that he died of a bladder infection. And this one might be vaguely relevant to the royal stuff here, because he died of a bladder infection, perhaps, contracted 11 days previously when he had been too polite to leave the royal banquet table to go to the toilet.
But what's weird is there's another story about him that his bladder exploded at a royal banquet. Now, that's not a bladder infection. And if he survived 11 days after an exploded bladder, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I've got this image of, you know, the Monty Python sketch.
I don't actually know.
Oh, it's in The Meaning of Life. This guy is eating really, really big guys eating food, and they give him one last bit of food and he explodes. It's quite one of the grimmest Monty Python scenes there are. I've got a similar image involving him drinking wine. It's not a pleasant thought.
Just that one last drop hitting his tongue and disappearing down his gullet, and then inside, pop. I don't know.
It's not so much pop in my head. It's more kaboom.
I think you'd be able to tell it. It would be a banquet that everyone wrote about.
Well, apparently they did.
Can you imagine something like that happening in formal?
It would wreck the bill for me, I have to say. I've got a tough stomach, but someone's bladder exploding over me, that's
not over you, surely internally.
I don't know. Depends how big an explosion it is.
When you're just sitting there with some wizened old fellow, and just suddenly you hear kaboom, and terribly sorry, was that me?
Well, I suppose some of those older fellows could be on nitroglycerine for heart disease, and well, we all know that that's also an explosive. Perhaps for people listeners who don't know, it is also a heart medication. Don't ask me why. Get a medic in.
Another theory suggests that the astronomer was killed on the orders of the Danish king because he had allegedly had an affair with the king's mother. He's a very, very exciting character. He lost the bridge of his nose in a duel while at the University of Rostock and wore a metal prosthetic for the rest of his life.
So he looked a bit like Terminator. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end of the movie.
I like the fact that they're also checking what metal that his nose was made out of while they're exhuming him.
I kind of feel sorry because he's been exhumed before. You know, it's like, how many times do you want to dig up? How much of the body's left?
I know. It's kind of like, I was kind of surprised at how much. They're saying they're going to analyse his hair. I didn't realise that lasted that long. I thought you'd just turn into a desiccated skeleton.
Well, unless you're mummified, of course. That's why the mummies last so long. Turn into soap?
What?
You get grave wax. Saponification of the fat in the body makes leaves soap in the grave. You could wash yourself with it if you wanted, but I've never heard of anyone doing that.
That sounds like we're going off into some sort of strange ritual.
Have you seen Fight Club?
I have not, no.
Oh, you haven't seen any movie. At one point, the main characters are making soap out of the fat from the liposuction from people. And if you're in the right environment, the same thing happens to dead bodies in the ground. You get fat. Which is actually how soap was probably discovered, was from human sacrifices in South America.
Ooh.
And the potash reacted with, which is sodium hydroxide or potassium hydroxide. I think it's potassium hydroxide, actually. And that then made soap with the human sacrifices fat.
Ooh.
I don't know why I know that.
I'm slightly worried now whether you've got like a soap racket going on that you've been keeping a secret from me.
I don't think an illegal market in soap is going to go far. You know, hi, do you want to buy my human remains converted into soap, or do you want to buy this soap you bought in Morrison's at half the price?
Well, obviously your problem there isn't so much how you're making the soap, but your pricing structure.
Well, it's quite expensive to kill people without getting caught.
Perhaps it. Oh, obviously, the who was it? Who was it? It did it to the prisoners? Prisoners turn into soap?
Prison.
Sacrifice. You just mentioned someone turned into soap.
Oh, it was not prison. It was human sacrifices. So it was.
They started off as prisoners.
Well, it was a different era back then. They were generally virgins and things like that.
But
in temples.
Obviously, the way they could use it for soap is that they did it in bulk.
They didn't even know it was making soap. I think it's only until the Westerns came along or something. It's a very odd story. If you know if it's false or true or you want to debunk that, feel free, email in studio@camfm.co.uk or using the form on the website when you're listening.
Yeah, there's also other suggestions that Bay might have administered mercury to himself as a medicine or used it because he was an alchemist as well as an astronomer.
Why would an alchemist be eating mercury? Or is he just
using it? No,
he could have been a hatter. Everyone knows that hatters use mercury.
Yeah, well, that's why the Mad Hatter was supposedly mad.
Supposedly. I thought he was quite sane compared to the other characters in the book.
They're all mad there.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to go among mad people.
It's a very strange book and very confusing when the cartoons muddle between the two books.
Yeah,
as to the confusion.
Lewis Carroll actually born quite near to where I come from. We've got a nice statue of the Tea Party in our town square.
You know, there's in one of the books, I think it's actually Looking Glass. There's a sheep who runs a shop. That shop is in Oxford, and it's highly branded and awful for it. But it's called the Alice Shop. But the picture drawn in the book looks just like the inside of the shop.
Oh, wow.
There's a giant tea room next to it as well.
And there's a sheep in it?
No, the sheep was a character of the person who actually worked there, but they were not actually a giant sheep, sadly. Uh-huh. And, of course, Alice was meant to be Alice Little, which was the daughter of the Dean of Christchurch.
Wow.
And I can't remember what Lewis Carroll's real name was, but he was a member of the college.
Yep. So, there you go. More news stories later. If you've got any comments or anything about any of the ones that we've had so far, you can email us. studio@camfm.co.uk or you can go to www.camfm.co.uk and fill out the web form there.
On air
97.2,
online
camfm.co.uk
and across Cambridge,
your station,
your Cam FM.
Hello and welcome back to Burst the Bubble live on Cam FM. That was Arcade Fire with Keep the Car Running. Now we're going to move on to another news story to look at. Lincoln Prison Handbook had a rather unfortunate error in the draft of an information booklet for its Russian inmates.
Yes, the error was that they accidentally mistranslated the word exercise to execution.
So it's labelled the execution yard. Luckily this was picked on an approved stage, so it didn't actually get out, and... The chief inspector of prison said, "You could treat it as a bit of a joke, unless you were the prisoner and didn't understand how the British prison service worked and came from a country that still had execution yards. It wouldn't be a funny thing for them." But since it got caught before it actually got out to them, I feel entirely justified in finding this amusing.
Yeah, the news report here says that all translated material should be verified.
And it was.
Yeah. So what they're saying is all the material that... they're currently verifying is for a good reason, that they don't tell people they're going to be executed. I think it's hilarious though.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant also that it was mentioned in the inspection report, which to me is kind of like Ofsted going into a school and it being picked up. Well, there was a rude word in one of the books that they might have been allowed to read.
Someone wrote it inside a toilet.
But they didn't give that book out to the kids until they'd removed the word.
So have you ever been to Lincoln Prison?
I haven't, no.
It's always worth checking with the person next to you who's been to a prison. You know, it's a good way to sort of break the ice. Are you a prisoner? Are you? Have you done anything? I'm stuck underground with a man who may or may not be a murderer. I need to check these things.
But the interesting thing is that the report praised the prison for having a better range of translation information for the 82 foreign national prisoners, but said staff had raised concerns that some translations were not entirely accurate.
So they had them checked and they found that... I'm confused. They've checked them, but the staff still think they're not accurate.
It's not clear whether this was one thing that got checked and some things didn't get checked.
Oh, okay.
So who knows, what maybe the French translation says that... I don't know... You will be able to sample the gastronomic delights of English cuisine. Because obviously that would
be misleading.
Be misleading.
But you're kind of captive in a prison. It's not like if they tell you the food's better than it is, you're going to go, I would have picked a different prison. I don't know anyone who gets to choose prisons. Well, maybe you get a slight choice, but not once you're there.
Yeah. Yes, one would say that most people who end up in prisons have a choice at some stage, a long way.
The other thing is, they say that the prison was in poor physical condition with litter and graffiti. I don't know about you, but I suspect that some prisoners aren't the best people for not graffitiing or littering. In fact, it's entirely possible that some prisoners have people who have been charged with graffiti repeatedly. I don't know if you go for prison for graffiti, that'd be a bit extreme, but I was thinking as an aside, in another case they've been charged with not.
I like the fact that it's like concerned with a poor physical condition, because physical condition to me sounds like the prison itself could do with going out to an exercise yard and looking after itself a bit more. We'll give it a bit of a scrub up, maybe do a few squats.
Give it a good hairstyle, gel its hair up a bit. Yeah, always is good.
Yeah, I mean, get Gokwan in to make it feel better about itself.
How to look good naked for prisons.
Then step one, obviously, there is make sure that you are not covered in litter and graffiti.
Not to make any stereotypes, but I don't think Gokwan would be particularly enjoy being in a prison. I don't think it's...
I like how you're thinking, Gokwan wouldn't enjoy being in a prison. I probably wouldn't enjoy being in a prison. Yeah. You probably wouldn't enjoy being in a prison. But why are you picking on Gokwan?
Because his personality seems to be very... sensitive male, and I don't feel the prisons are a place of sensitive men.
Oh,
but he's lovely. I have had the misfortune to watch his show,
so
it's not aimed at me. I get the feeling.
Perhaps not. No, a Victorian jail apparently. So it's been going for a while. I think it's improving, which is a good sign. And they are, it seems now, checking what they're giving translations to other inmates. So. I think that's all to the good there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and of course it's improving because they had riots in 2002.
I mean, it's not had any since. So that's
it's like since London burnt down, it hasn't burnt down since. You know,
that's an improvement.
That's an improvement indeed. So shall we move on to the next story then?
Yep, the next story is another from Italy with Silvio Berlusconi, who seems to pop up every now and
again.
He's
my favourite prime minister, I think.
He's your favourite.
Yes. Not for his ability to minister a country, though.
Just for the stuff he does.
Yes, if it wasn't real, it would be hilarious. It would be satire.
it is real.
Sadly, it is real, so depressing. But this story, I think, is mostly harmless.
He has had some two Roman marble statues with missing bits,
missing willies.
Yeah, missing.
Well,
missing
Venus wouldn't have a willy actually,
and a missing hand. He's had new ones made to replace them.
Yeah, so Mars had a missing penis and Venus had a missing hand. So obviously it's harder to break off the genitals of Venus than it is off Mars.
And our experts say it's tasteless and aesthetically wrong to replace the missing body parts.
If I had a missing body part, I wouldn't think it was tasteless or aesthetically wrong to replace it. So I don't know why statues shouldn't be allowed to have it.
You're not ancient and Roman.
If I was ancient and Roman and I still cared about my body parts, I'd be quite happy to have them replaced, because I think they'd be pretty old by now. But I find out that they say it amounts that Italian's prime minister is under attack for authorising what amounts to plastic surgery on two marble statues. If it's plastic, surely it's easily removable. You know, it's not like... Or maybe they just got potty filler, you know.
just found something and like, this will harden. Let's stick that in there.
I want to know...
Plug it in.
How do they decide how big Mars's penis is?
See, this is a god, after all. This is the thing, I think. I think this is where they're going. Well, you don't know what they were like before, so obviously, if you do get it wrong, you're marring the statue.
Whereas the person who broke genitalia off it wasn't.
Yeah. So apparently, it's going to cost more than €73,000.
Well, that's probably his legal bills for the last mistake he made, to be honest.
And they said, what has angered art lovers is that this type of cosmetic restoration has now gone out of fashion.
Yeah, it's like me saying, I'm angry that someone is wearing a pink scarf, because pink scarves have gone out of fashion. They might have good reasons, but clearly they haven't made them clear.
Apparently someone said that Berlusconi has failed to respect the rules of art restoration as practiced by Italian restorers, that you do not try to restore perfection to ancient works of art.
Yeah, that might be an Italian thing.
How dare you? How dare you try and make these things more perfect?
And at this point, my printout says you have not got a flash player, so we can't watch the video on the printout.
But apparently, the new body parts are described as being removable, so you're correct with your surmise.
They're removable? Then who cares?
Yeah.
But that means you haven't, as long as they haven't damaged it. I mean, you can just unhook the willy, take it home. Yeah. It's an odd thing to get head up about if they're removable. If, of course, if it's permanently altering the physical structure of the statue, I would actually have a issue if they've damaged what there is there to do it. But
yeah, I'm confused by how het up people are getting over these statues as well. To be honest, if someone started adding arms to like Michelangelo's David, I'm sure that would.
Well, that'd be awesome. You finally give him a hug.
Oh,
think how long he's wanted a hug for. Maybe him and Venus de Milo could have a nice little hug.
And moving on, we've got
what? They're statues. They get lonely.
Oh, statues need love too.
Yeah.
And in some sense, that's what Mr. Berlusconi is giving to these statues. He's giving them some love into the tune of rather a large number of euros just before he cuts 40% from Italian's fine arts budget next year.
If you don't give statues love, you end up with those statues from Doctor Who. The ones that chased you.
The weeping angels.
Yeah.
If you didn't give them arms, then that would be better, surely, because they wouldn't be able to reach out towards you.
They have teeth.
Yeah, but they don't use them.
Don't they?
No.
Well, you can't see, because when you look at them, they go solid, so you don't know.
But they send you back in time by touching you.
Okay, you've got a point. Maybe they also bite you.
And speaking about sending things back in time, here's an old classic tune for you.
On air, online, and across Cambridge.
Your music,
your Cam FM.
Hello, and welcome back to Burst of Bubble. That was Penny Lane by the Beatles.
Very cover band.
Which is now available, actually, to buy legally as a digital track.
Well, are you sure you couldn't buy them digitally before? I thought they did really some really complicated methods other than a fruit-flavoured store method.
There was actually one slight thing that they did. They did, when they were doing the big re-release of everything, they released the entire Beatles collection on a USB stick. But this is the first time, as far as I know, you've been able to download the individual tracks online, legally. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So you can go to your favourite fruit-flavoured store and download them.
Okay, so yes, we're here on Burst of Bubble looking at the weird news stories from the past week. We've had a couple of emails in. Firstly, from Sarah, who is thinking of extra uses for this potash plus fat turning into soap idea. He's saying that would this work if people are trying to lose weight? You would be able to feed them potash to form soap in their stomach so they can lose weight painlessly.
I don't think it'd be painless. I think it'd be incredibly painful. Yeah. Probably fatal.
And possibly not the best
weight.
Idea.
You would definitely lose weight.
Yeah, I remember an old joke. I think it on camera was on, but someone saying what way of losing weight instantly. And you're like, oh yeah, what's that? Chop off your head.
Amputation, of course, of any limb. So you know, heads are fatal, but you could just take your arm off, leg off,
and then you'd resemble a Roman statue.
Do they have BMI indexes for people who have lost limbs?
I don't know, but then BMI index doesn't seem to work very well in general.
It says I'm healthy, so I'm happy with it.
I think I'm on the low side of healthy from it.
Well, you need to eat more.
I have actually gained weight slightly, but at the moment, recently. Yeah. So there you go. Obviously, I'm doing these things already. I've been doing these things for a long while. So there are some suggestions, and also, Frank. He's saying, talking about the missing genitalia from statues, he's saying, surely a better idea would be to use some existing genitalia donated by art lovers who are just about to die, and they could raffle off the honour to the highest bidder. And, so that's the way of doing it. That reminds me of, who is it who makes the plasticised bodies? Dr. Von Gunther, is it? I can't remember his name now.
Oh, the Bodyworks exhibitions.
Yeah, I went to see that once.
I didn't. It freaked me out as an idea.
Yeah, I all these people go into it knowing exactly what's going to be done with their bodies, pretty much.
Oh, I don't have a problem with the consenting of it. It's going around looking at bodies. It's not something I do as a pastime.
I found it really interesting because you just see quite. My favourite bit was there's one body where they basically just sliced it up, and so you can basically just see look at all these different slices and just see how the body, different bits all fit together as you go down the body.
I like to keep all my bits inside me, and I'm not going to let any... Well, I don't want to see how they sort of go together. They're fine. They're working.
Okay.
It's not something I want to do. I didn't become a surgeon for a reason. It's a well-paying job, and I don't want to look inside bodies. Which anyone who lives near or knows me would probably be glad that they don't want me to look inside the body. There's an interesting point, though, put here by Frank, that classical Italian and Greek statues had exceptionally small male genitalia as they're more aesthetically pleasing. So is Berlusconi going to continue the tradition of having very small penises in his house? So I mean, Venus, will she get a very small hand? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if hands are the same, but... Yeah, so saying that if you're advertising for genitalia to use, you'd be asking people to say that they had small genitalia, which people might not be too happy with. But anyway, moving on, we've still got some more news stories to get through today. We've got, finally, the promised story, which is related to the royal engagement, which dominated the news over the past week.
This is groundbreaking news. This is almost certainly the one news story about the royal engagement that won't make you want to cry or turn off the radio or anything like that. It's the only story we would be willing to ever broadcast. It's that sensational.
So traditionally, from Abingdon County Museum, County Hall Museum in Oxfordshire, to celebrate royal occasions, I assume that means weddings and major birthdays, rather than someone just thinking, oh, this occasion feels a bit royal to me, they throw buns from the roof. But... at the moment, they're worried that it won't be able to go ahead because there's scaffolding up going on and work going on up there.
Surely that should make it safer to get up, though. You know, if there's people currently working up there, you can't claim it's a dangerous thing to go up it, which is what they're claiming.
But they've had training.
Well, we got to train the mayor. We got plenty of time. Weddings take a while to organise, especially royal weddings.
Apparently, it took place in 2006 to mark the 450th anniversary of the Abingdon Charter and a visit by the Princess Royal to the town.
Wow, so did they throw them at her? That would be hilarious.
No, they throw them from the roof and people try and catch them.
Oh.
They hurl 4,000 cakes, so I assume it's like currant buns rather than like the buns that you're going to have a burger in or something.
Yeah, so it's...
Perhaps if Americans want to start a similar tradition, they'd use burger buns.
Yeah, so they're bum philanthropes? No, what's
that? Pardon?
The word for somebody who gives stuff away. Philanthropist. Yeah, so they're bum philanthropists. I can't say that word. I didn't know that till now. I learned on air that I can't say a word.
that's a really useful place to learn it.
Yeah, I'll never use that word again on air.
apparently it's a 250-year-old tradition, which makes it a lot younger than Cambridge. It's one of the things you hear. You start looking at these things and going, well, that's not very old, is it?
But you know, most of the traditions in Cambridge are actually quite recent.
I can imagine that.
They got rid of a load of them and decided they wanted to make them up again. Because they got rid of them because they thought they were boring and old. And they decided, we need some more.
Have you got any specific examples to back this up?
I believe a lot of the graduation is very recent.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have no evidence of any of this. These are just accusations wildly made up.
Well, that's what we're about here. We like wild accusations and conspiracy theories going around here. I think there's a conspiracy going on here to deprive the good people of Abingdon of buns.
Free buns. By those people who I can't say the name of.
Who buys the buns?
The county council.
It's the council.
That's what taxpayers' money's for, buns and bins. The only two things for tax... money does, I know, is bins and buns in Abingdon.
They
do nothing else anywhere.
And bans. They ban things.
Do they ban stuff?
I'm sure some councils have banned stuff. They have
putting cats in bins.
Bins and bans and buns.
Bins, bans, buns. Right.
There you go.
If we move swiftly on, then
we've got a couple of stories here from America.
Should we talk about the US Air Force's next major security risk?
Major security risk is social networking sites like Facebook and Foursquare and all manner of things. And it's a really simple thing. They're telling their soldiers, don't put your location up on the internet, basically.
Yeah, apparently telling the whole world where you are is not good for secret military covert op things. Secret that also covert.
I like the fact that the US Air Force has made this warning, and at the time that this news report was actually done, it said the US Army is set to send a similar warning to its troops. It's not done it quite yet. It's going to do it very shortly.
I have to say, most companies block, like Facebook, So why? How in the middle of Afghanistan do you get Facebook? Do they all have smartphones?
I don't know. What's a 3G connection like there?
I don't. I mean, I presume Afghanistan's got a very good mobile network. It's quite a modernised country in a lot of the area, so that's possible. But you're getting shot at, and you go, right, I know what. Get my phone out. Checked in. Gun site B. There we go. Ah.
You are now the mayor of gun site B. Congratulations.
If only I could think of a good Afghani name now, who could then become the mayor shortly afterwards. Foursquare is now monitoring war efforts between the insurgents, is that the correct word, and the US Air Force.
Apparently, they're yeah, I just find it hard to imagine that this is a thing that they need to warn people about.
People are stupid.
Oh, look, did you remember recently, a good few years back now, where Furbies were banned from some army bases or something because they had the ability to remember what had been said and repeat it back later?
Well,
and they're worried that people might steal secrets that way.
From my extensive military training, I can tell you that all recording devices are generally banned in these places. So they would have just gone, a Furby's a recording device. They don't think about the rules too much. They don't think it's cute and fluffy, we'll let that one go. Same way as they won't generally let you take a mobile phone into many of their sites. Because people bum dial, if you know what I mean, by sitting on a phone dialing. And when you're in a secret meeting, you sit down and suddenly you phone up the local radio station, let's say. That's not clever.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us, our number is 01223 850 247.
Yeah, if you bum dial us, we won't be proud. Please, Stephen.
Yeah. Please don't send us any military secrets.
Well, no, happy for military secrets. We can break them out live on air.
Oh no, we'll get in trouble.
Yeah, we would, but no one's going to send in military secrets to Cab FM. We got WikiLeaks now. The world's moved on.
You're pushing that there. I would find it hilarious if someone now did.
Well, if anything came in now, I wouldn't believe it. It would be the secret plan for the Custer stockpile of Iceland. In case there's a Custer shortage, in case you couldn't work out why that's so important.
Secret plan to steal the buns. prevent the royal wedding engagement from going ahead.
Well, do you have custard? You don't really have custard with buns, do you?
Custard buns?
You do have custard buns, yeah. You don't really have custard on buns, that's what I'm saying, but custard in buns. Yeah.
Custard in buns.
Oh, custard buns are nice.
There we go.
I'll hold that thought.
From US military to custard buns. We also have another US story, which is universities in bids to win Obama's presidential library, which makes it to me sound like some sort of TV show, or possibly eBay. Because apparently all of the papers and stuff of a president get stored in a university library after the tenure of a president. And so already the University of Hawaii and the University of Chicago are circling like vultures, ready to grab the documents.
Why do you have a university libraries? I don't quite... Sorry, not university. Universities need libraries, hopefully. Why do they have these presidential libraries? Does Obama have a large number of books he's writing in secret? And in fact, someone else is running the country?
He wrote a kid's book recently. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I did. Why? Why did he write a kid's book? He's meant to be running a country.
Everyone's going to have a hobby.
Is it to tell George W. Bush how he should have done the job?
No, that's harsh.
Oh, come on. If we can't make jokes about George W. Bush's intellect, then who can we joke about their intellect?
Yours?
No, that's fine.
Mine?
There's nothing wrong with my intellect. It's perfectly good. I can tell you all about custard buns, apparently.
But I like the fact that last year, University of Chicago President Robert Zimmer told Bloomberg News Agency the school was studying the benefits of having a library there. Apparently, former President Bill Clinton's presidential library in Little Rock has revitalized a once depressed commercial corridor on that city's waterfront.
So,
just imagining a corridor. I assume it's actually an area of land rather than just a corridor.
I'm also still wondering what's in these libraries. If it's like all his notes and stuff, which I assume it really is, and everything he's done.
Archives and artifacts that help papers which will help frame his legacy as president.
I just don't know how these can be. I don't get it. I need to go to one. Can someone phone in and give me their credit card so I can pay to visit one of these libraries and work out what they're about? Because I have no idea.
Or if you've got any suggestions for books that you'd think would papers that would represent you, if you were to have a library for you.
I'd rather you just pay for me to go for a free trip to America. But yes, your suggestion is far more sensible.
Then you can email studio@camfm.co.uk, or you can go on to our website, www.camfm.co.uk, and use the form there.
Your city.
Your station. Your Cam FM.
This is Burst the Bubble, and I am joined by Michael Contiero. God, I got your name wrong.
And also, it's my show.
Yes.
Now you're claiming you're taking over my show. And Andy's actually undergoing his training at the moment, so he's having a bit of a go at the producing role here. And now he's claiming that the show's his, and I'm joining him, and not even bothering to get my name right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'm hurt. It's Michael Contiero.
I know. I always get it wrong in my head. I normally check it before going on air.
Okay. So moving on, the last couple of stories, we're going all. Domestic, really, for the last couple of
years. Because I got your name wrong, please don't hit me.
But we are talking about some people that have decided that people living in period properties have been told that they can dramatically reduce their energy bills simply by closing their curtains or shutters at dusk.
What's because a period property?
Well, just thinking of ones like actually the National Trust and that sort of thing. So the sort of thing where it's not a modern build.
Okay, because I was going to say there's lots of different periods that could have been built in, say, a period. You know.
Yeah, just not modern, I think.
My house was built in a period. It was built in the last 2 years.
Basically, I think what they mostly mean is houses without double glazing and loft insulation.
Yeah, and presumably listed is the important thing, so you can't add double glazing.
Yeah. And yeah, basically, they've used thermal imaging cameras to show residents of Edinburgh, they did this research in, to show residents of the capital's old and new towns how best to cut their bills. Unsurprisingly, it's like, well, block off your windows, because that's when your heat gets lost.
Do they also suggest you shut the window?
I assume that they decided that went without saying.
You never know.
They're saying that these historic buildings are so well designed, they're almost as energy efficient in terms of heating and stuff as modern homes, which is surprising.
Well, it's not too surprising if you've ever felt how thick the stone walls are. You know, they actually don't fall down. It's a great thing about those old buildings. My one's basically made of a plasterboard and a few bits of timber.
I wonder if the same could be said of colleges here. Perhaps college rooms are actually quite warm.
Well, they would be if they weren't so drafty.
Well, my last college room wasn't drafty.
Yeah, no, it depends on the college, depends on the room. But I'm sure plenty of our listeners have had the wonderful experience of the heater coming on in winter and their room just becoming a sauna because it just doesn't lose heat either.
Oh, and, yeah, I've had that.
You have no control of the heating system.
But I don't think that's particularly energy efficient.
Well, when I was in my first university, I had my windows open on my room, and that was when it was snowing outside because my room was so hot and it was still sweltering. I got so many kebabs thrown back in through those windows as well, because I was on the route from the pub to the kebab van. it was a pleasant experience, that room. It was a good room though, it was big.
Yeah, so obviously they thought it was big, we need lots of heat in here, let's pump lots of heat in.
Well, I think it was directly above a boiler.
Ah, okay, that also...
And I think, if my physics is correct, that heat may rise.
Yep, it may do other things. No, generally...
Your investment in heat may go up or down.
And, sticking with the theme of houses, apparently some estate agents in Brighton have been sent on a poetry course to try and improve their sales technique.
So do they have to write poems and sonnets for every house they sell?
They have to learn how to reinvent space and avoid the clichés, which sounds like a sort of cliché. Not a cliché, an example of just like stereotypical bad writing, that reinvent space.
It sounds like a marketing speak cliché, to be honest.
Einstein reinvented space.
Did he reinvent or re-describe? It's not like he went, look, your space is rubbish, I'm going to have new space. Or did he go, look, your ether model isn't necessary. Let's supersede it for relativity.
He reinvented the description of space then. But,
yep.
But we're allowed to miss words out, right?
No.
Even if you've got apostrophes in there, we invented apostrophe space.
I still personally...
that sounds like the space is another bit of punctuation, doesn't it? Like, you know, we invent apostrophe space, capital letter, question mark.
When it comes to Einstein is awesome. He's legendary, in fact.
That's something we can agree on. And I think we won't be doing a disservice to Brighton estate agents by stating that they aren't.
What, Einstein? No,
or legendary.
Or legendary. Well, it depends. There might be one or two who will get the Estate Agent of the Year award.
Is that really what the stuff legends are made of?
Estate agent legends, yes.
The great hero Achilles went out and lo, he did sell this house.
Don't you know the story of Bill Pinkerton, who won the Estate Agent Award 10 times in a row?
No, because you're making that up.
Prove it.
You can't prove stuff like that.
Can't prove a negative.
No. So, well done there.
Thank you for
making up something that we can't prove and is therefore completely unscientific. And it's just defeated the entire point of all of that. But yeah, I like this. But... What sort of poetry would you write a love poem to your hounds?
Do you have some examples of what they've been told to say there?
There are some descriptions. I'm not sure whether these have actually come directly from the poetry sessions or not, but here the article on the Guardian website just says here are a few of the best lines. The first thing you eye is the sea meeting the sky. Like old comrades, they share a warm embrace. Translation, direct sea views.
I personally want my house sales to... Well, my information to PAX to be simple and clear and easy to understand.
And so basically, you like the Twitter approach.
Yeah, if you can't sell me a house in 140 characters or less, I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah, you'd like something like 5 bedrooms, good location, sea view.
The problem is that I don't believe anything in a... estate agent's brochure anyway.
Without feeling lonely, the room has an echo. Spacious accommodation there.
See, if only they'd used this when selling my house, they could have made a better way to explain the golf course, which they promised me still hasn't been built.
They promised you a golf course?
Yeah, it should be a golf course in Camborne. It's never going to get built.
Oh,
they didn't believe them.
This is the thing. Do we not believe them, and that means they can get away with saying things that we won't believe, and because they're not true, or what?
A lot of people are very annoyed in Camborne because they actually did believe it, and they want them. Like the sports centre was hyped up when we sold a house a lot more than it was, and it's basically a couple of changing rooms and a few badminton courts, and I think a dance studio, which is really, really good. And
if you like dance,
well, yeah, I mean, facilities are great, but certainly a lot of people sort of felt they were being sold an Olympic-sized swimming pool and other stuff because of.
How big is an Olympic-sized swimming pool? Is it 50 metres?
Not sure, actually. I don't know why people need an Olympic-sized swimming pool, to be honest. Cambridge should have one, but I'm not even sure we do. Do we?
I don't think so. I don't see why.
I know the swimming pool on Jesus Green is actually ridiculously long.
Ah, it's also outdoors, which most Olympic-sized pools aren't.
I don't see any problem with moving Olympics outside. We should do that at the London Olympics.
Well, so that's where it started, to be honest.
In the sea.
Outside.
I don't know. I because the Olympics haven't run very long, because the first Olympics was in the UK, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was thinking more the ancient Olympics.
Could the Greeks swim?
I assume so.
I don't know.
They sailed the seas, so one would generally hope that they might be able to swim a little.
Sailors don't generally learn to swim.
No?
Well, not historically, I believe. I'll get a historian probably complaining in a moment, but apparently a lot of sailors wanted to die quicker.
Ah, I suppose also you don't expect to swim unless something's gone terribly wrong.
If you're on Christopher Columbus's ship and say you'll fall out of the boat halfway across the Atlantic, try and get the right ocean, you'll not be able to swim to shore. I'm slightly sure of that.
Slightly sure?
Slightly sure. The guy has actually swum from, is it New York to France?
Yeah, didn't he have a boat to stop off on now and again?
He could hang off on the boat and sleep. That is not fair. That's cheating.
Well, you're saying that because you couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't. I'm not stupid enough.
Oh, come on. That's not very nice. People are aspiring to new heights and you're insulting them.
Is it... Okay, explain to me what swimming across the... Atlantic as a chief of the world.
Someone can say, I've swum across the Atlantic. There you go. People can aspire to that sort of thing. They can go, wow, that person did that thing that was hard. I can do things that are less hard. And therefore, it just suggests that people will be able to do fun things. Anyway, we're coming to the end of the show. We have to try and predict tomorrow's news quickly. Not tomorrow's, next week's news. Any predictions?
Next week's news. I've just gone blank. You got any good ones?
I predict that the royal engagement will continue to be the biggest news story, and hopefully it'll be announced that Abingdon people will get their bonds. Thank you. Good night.